offices of those who hear, that this might be a time when your word reaches us and changes our lives and our hope. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, she claimed memories that she didn't even know she had. Did you come across this story? This is Tracy Scott. Some point in the course of the week, she began to get messages from friends. They had connected her with an unknown soldier whose medals and photographs had been turned into a Goodwill store in Calgary. The people in the Goodwill store didn't know who this was, but they knew that these medals didn't rightfully belong there and weren't meant to be sold at Goodwill. And well, they put it out on the internet asking, did anyone know? Because this name, Sergeant Robert William Finch, was inscribed on the back of a silver cross, which is the medal, the award given to the widow or mother of a soldier who died in active service. And so they put the name abroad, and some friends saw it, and they told Tracy Scott. She didn't know that these things even existed. Came into that Goodwill store and the cameras were rolling, and it was quite touching as she reached and you could see her hand shaking with emotion, taking these photographs and these medals of the grandfather that she had never met, who died on April 13th, 1945, less than 1 month before the war ended. And there she looked at these pictures of her family. She said, I saw there's a story about Robert Finch's medals being donated, so I went to the store and saw my grandmother, my grandfather, and my mother staring back at me. Amazing when a memory you didn't know you had stares back at you. And suddenly, a new part of her own story became part of her life. Our memories are so important to us. What do you remember? For most of us, we take from the broad spectrum of the events of our lives probably a handful of memories, places and relationships and moments whereby we frame our identity, whereby we come to terms and understand this is who we are, perhaps especially in moments of confusion, in moments of grief, in moments when we do not feel like ourselves, we turn to these key memories. And we remember. And we know who we are. What are your memories? Today is an important day yesterday was an important day we remembered in history. 30 years ago yesterday, the Berlin Wall fell. And for many people, that was an important occasion, certainly for the Western world, who grew up with this symbol of tension and hostility. When that wall came down, it began a new era of freedom, not only for East Germans, but a new rapprochement between East and West. It was a day that defines our modern history. Yesterday is also a day to remember another event. 1938, it was the day of Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, when the ugliness of Nazi Germany raised its face to the world. And that night, it's called broken glass because so many Jewish businesses had their panes of glass broken, and 267 Jewish synagogues in Berlin were broken into, ransacked, and burned. If we are to remember the day of the fall of the Berlin Wall, we also have to remember the evening of Kristallnacht, which is also part of our Western history, part of our family staring back at us. Or if we forget such a night, we forget who we are and what we're capable of. And so we remember that we might go forward differently. What do you remember? This is a time when, as a world, we are recovering many lost memories. You hear that spoken of quite a bit, not only lost memories, but lost voices. Voices that need to be reclaimed to remember the richness of our lives and how we can perpetrate indignity upon one another. This past November the 8th, we celebrated Indigenous Veterans Day to reclaim some of those stories in the midst of remembering the stories from residential schools in this country. We also remember those from First Nations who served in our armed forces, who helped make our dignity and freedom possible in this country. Of course, we remember the stories of the Me Too movement. We reclaim these lost voices and lost memories that we might not forget, and that we might go forward differently. And then there is November the 11th. We remember those who served. They gave not only their lives, that last full measure of devotion, but they also gave their time, years out of their lives, years out of their childhood. And we remember this because they deserve to be remembered, but also because that's who we are. That's what we're worth. If you forget those who served you, when you look at these poppies and these crosses, you are looking at your family history staring back at you. It may not be a relative lying in that grave, but it is someone who, for your sake and for all our sakes and for the sake of the world, took up the cause of freedom. Remember who you are. I love that film, Saving Private Ryan. Very disturbing in many ways. They say a number of veterans, they offered free counseling to them when they saw these images because they were so accurate to the events of that time and place. If you remember the story, it involves the group of soldiers who were called upon to find a Private James Ryan. They had received word that three of his brothers had been killed in action. And he was the last surviving brother, and there was a law enacted in the United States in 1942 called the Last Survivor Law, that someone who was the last child in a family would be sent home in order to save that family's heritage. So these eight soldiers were sent to find this Private James Ryan. Now, it's based on a true story that was the Nealon brothers. Three of them were thought to be dead, and so they found Frederick Nealon, the survivor, Turned out in the end that another of his brothers wasn't killed, but he had survived the war in a Japanese prison camp in Burma. In that case, the group of soldiers who went looking for Fritz Neeland, as he was known, was led by a chaplain. In the movie, it was Captain Miller, and that was played by Tom Hanks. I have a clip from the end of that film. When Captain Miller died for the sake of James Ryan, and with his dying breath, he whispered into Ryan's ear, "Listen.
We got a medic!"
They're tank busters, sir, P-51s.
Angels on our shoulders.
What, sir?
James. Ernest.
I don't know if you could hear the words, but they were, "Earn this. Earn it." Now, a letter went to the family of Frederick Neeland. Was by the commanding general of the American Armed Forces, George Marshall. He wrote this: "Nothing, not even the safe return of a beloved son, can compensate you or the thousands of other American families who have suffered great loss in this tragic war. I might share with you some words which have sustained me through long dark nights of peril, loss, and heartache." And I quote, "I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Abraham Lincoln. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, George C. Marshall, General Chief of Staff." It brings tears to my eyes as well. We read from the story of Job, someone who lost a great deal. In fact, everything that one would regard of worldly value, and having nothing left, his friends came to console him, telling him that he must have done something wrong for God to punish him so. You could wish to have such friends. But Job knew he had done nothing wrong. And he believed that he would be vindicated. And I appreciate the interpretation given to this text by Handel and Charles Jennens in Messiah, and by Christians who read it long after the book of Job had been written, that we would all be vindicated, that the love of God for us would stand, and we can stand ourselves in the knowledge and remembering that our Redeemer lives. He is risen. and we shall see God. It's a good thing to remember. I have a friend who ministers in Connecticut. She was part of our Tantor group in Israel, and she shared with that group recently the story of an amazing man in her congregation named Eric, and Eric is actually preaching the sermon there today. Eric had what one would think of as the American dream for a life. He excelled in school, he had degrees from Dartmouth and a graduate degree from Stanford. He became the manager of a hedge fund on Wall Street. He became very wealthy, owned a beautiful large house in the richest town in the United States. He had a beautiful wife and a family of four. And then at 50 years of age, Eric was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's. And it was the kind of Parkinson's which advances rapidly and is virulent. And he quickly became debilitated. He had electrodes placed in his mind that he might keep some kind of mobility. His speech became slurred and difficult to understand. He lost his job. But Eric, well, he attended, they had two services there. He began attending both services. He went to every Bible study offered. He engaged in every opportunity in the men's groups and in the social groups to be part of that church community. Eric grew in his faith in leaps and bounds. He says of himself now, you know, when I was doing all those things and was so successful, I forgot who I was. I didn't have time for God. I didn't have time for myself. Now he says, I have time for God. And every day I grow closer to God and happier. Eric is an inspiration. He remembers who he is. When I see images of these crosses row on row and look at our family history and remember the costs of our lives, I remember another row of crosses, these ones not in Flanders Fields, but on a hill outside of Jerusalem. And in the center, the cross, the cross from which all those other crosses descend and take their meaning. Not as a symbol of cruelty and execution, but as a symbol of love and of risen hope. I cannot say earn this, because one cannot earn that which is so freely given. But I can say remember this. Remember this as a testimony to the value of your life. Remember this as a declaration of the divine love that will not let you go. Remember this as part of your story, your history, and my history, and the history of this creation, and the assurance of our future, and the victory of life. It's good to remember. Let us pray. O gracious God, help us to see ourselves in the stories of this Remembrance Day. Help us to see ourselves and themselves in the stories of your self-giving love. And may we remember who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.